It's the Sinister Six. My man Nick is here. We got a newish lineup. There's a lot of NFL games we're going to talk. It's going to be fun. We're going to be excited. We're going to forget that we either A, didn't have a show last week, and B, the last time we did one of these, it was terrible. All of that coming up next. This episode is brought to you by The Corner Tap. Who doesn't need a solid handcuff on their fantasy squad? Grab a bite to eat at Clint's Draft House while watching the noon games, and then head on over across the Moline Rock Island border to The Corner Tap for some libations during the 3 o'clock games. Every Sunday is fun day at The Corner Tap with $3 tall boys, Bloody Marys, Jack Daniels, and $2 PBR drafts. Head into The Corner Tap, 4018 14th Avenue, Rock Island, and get into the end zone. Coming up on this pod, as we said, it is the Sinister Six, Week 13. We have had a pretty good record, all things considered. Though last time we came on, Tanner was on the show, and it was horrific. I think we went a combined 2-whatever for the show. I pushed 1. It was bad. But Nick is going to be here. We're going to have fun. We're all going to be great. The rise, and we're back. It's college football championship weekend. There's a couple games that I'll kind of throw out that could be interesting. I have one of them on the list. This has not been a completely prepared week. We have had to throw some stuff together, but we are going to make it work, and we are excited. So buckle up, because this is going to be exciting. I'm really excited Nick is here. Hopefully we both don't unity the Dolphins plus the points, because then they'll lose by 30. Regardless, we're going to have fun. Y'all know what time it is. Let's ride. Yes, sir. You know what time it is. Enough bullshit. Let's get real, son. Nick is back. We are here together. The smartest man in the Four Frequency Sake Network is here and ready to dish his salt. He's ready to salt bay all over us.
I don't know about that, but
with his lovely picks,
the Sinister Six gets a side of Nick's picks.
Hey, bars. We love on this show a good bar. There's nothing more that we love on here than that. So how are you feeling, man? We were together last week. How was your Thanksgiving?
Thanksgiving was good and still stuffed.
Yeah.
Haven't had to eat as much this week, it feels like. It's good.
How are your games you had this weekend? Or over the week, I guess. Did you have any games after Thanksgiving?
I was supposed to have one yesterday that got snowed out.
Really?
Northwest Iowa was kind of snowed out, and it was pretty well fine in central Iowa, but the team I was covering had to drive about an hour to the east from Lake City and Rockwell City area, and it was icy there, so they called it off and pretty much
keep that shit away from us.
Yeah, I know. It's like we're not even 2 weeks into the season and we're already getting games postponed. That is not a good sign for the rest of winter.
No. We're supposed to have pretty decent weather throughout the weekend and whatnot here, so that's good. But yeah, man, I'm excited for today. We didn't have a show last week, so during the week I was going to give out like my picks on daily. I was like, you know what, let's do some fun. I'll just give out daily picks on Facebook. Thanksgiving happened. I went 1-2. I went with the square side. I wanted the Bengals pick, or I picked the Bills minus the points. I got the great backdoor cover with the Giants. And then I picked the under in the Vikings game because, of course, I did. And then it was over at half. That was so dumb. Everyone on earth knew the under was the right side with two offenses that weren't great. And both defenses said, "Now we're done. We don't want to play." So other than that, the reason I didn't post anything Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was your boy was really sick. Thursday was great and awesome. Friday, I woke up feeling a little under the weather. Had a couple games that I did. I don't remember what I did Friday night.
That's not a good sign if you don't remember what happened Friday night.
I didn't drink, I don't think. I'm serious. I totally forgot what I did.
Is what you're saying.
Huh?
It was blacked out Friday is what you're saying.
Yeah, man. Oh, no. I went out. I went shopping Friday night. That's what I did. Me and a couple friends of mine, some high school friends, we went shopping Friday night, got a bunch of stuff for the lady. And then Saturday had a couple more games. I was dead Saturday. I was a zombie. And then Sunday I was like just kind of recovering. If I would have picked anything, I guess I would have, like, the only things I would have actually picked, I would have like laid the points with Texas Friday, which actually somehow won. I would have, the one that I actually know I would have picked that like I really was feeling good about was the Steelers plus the points. Anything from Sunday that I liked that I would have made. Oh, God. I can't think of anything else off the top of my head. I would have laid him with the Dolphins, low-key. And I don't – depending on when you bet that, you either covered or were really pissed. I know someone who took the Dolphins team total that was 30 and a half over.
Feeling tough. Pretty good when it's 30 to nothing at halftime.
And then they were just like, we are putting this entire boy in park. We are done. We are done for the day. So, anywho, that was my day. We kind of – I didn't really count anything towards the record, but on the year so far, even after that last 2 weeks ago, that horrific weekend, Nick, we're 35, 35, and 3. And this is the first time I've ever gone against the spread for a full season and kept my tally. So I feel pretty good about that, you know? 35, 35, and 3, you're 500. I feel like if you can get into the 60%, that's where you're really living good. But around 500 for someone, I don't consider myself a pro whatsoever. We are in our rookie season. We're going through lumps. But we've had good weeks before. A couple weeks ago, we were terrible. But then again, every gambling show was terrible. So I'm excited. I hope there's no pressure on you. Are you ready to get things going?
I'm ready.
Okay. So let's start. Nick, we'll give you the floor first. Before we go to get a couple before we launch our one college bet of the weekend, we'll let Nick have the floor first. Just to see if there's anything that he has on his board that pairs with ours. The majority of this is going to be NFL stuff. We didn't have too much college stuff. There's just one that I really like that'll go into detail here in a little bit. So, Nick, the floor is yours.
Do you want one pick or do you want all six?
We'll go with one. We'll go one. Okay. We'll kind of go back and forth. We'll talk about the game. Real quick, do you have anything on the Thursday game?
I do not.
Okay. I don't know how you're feeling on that. Anything that, like, for me in that game, we usually stay away from those. But if I had to pick something, maybe it'd be the Bills because that's a horrible matchup for Miami. But regardless, I will open the floor up to you for your first pick, your first draft pick.
First pick in the Sinister Six, Nick's picks. We've got Deshaun Watson and the Cleveland Browns at Houston against his former team. We're going to lay the points with Cleveland and take them by a touchdown.
Yes, sir. We are on it. The first pick of the draft, and we are unified. I love it. So,
with his accusers in attendance, he's going to win it by 69.
That's funny. That's hilarious. By the way, good on him, I guess. They're not doing it for publicity. They're definitely not, Nick. How dare you say that? They're definitely not going to soak up all of those local news interviews they're going to get before the game. Don't you say that, Nick. How dare you? That's terrible. Anywho, listen, I'm not going to defend myself. I'm one of the biggest Deshaun Watson fans that have ever existed. We talk strictly in between the lines on this show. I think he's electric and one of the five best quarterbacks alive. I can't wait to see him play. I do think that there is going to be a bit of a rust factor, but the reason I'm with you on this is just I think that the Texans have been awful. And even if the Texans have some sort of, we want to stick it to Deshaun type game, not really. None of the people that there, I think, care about that anymore. Maybe. But I also just think even if the Browns just keep it simple, I don't know how Houston scores enough to make Houston – like, I don't know how they combo scoring enough and stopping Houston – and stopping Cleveland to make the seven Like, the fact that this isn't double digits, I know it's Cleveland, but the fact that it's not double digits, there's a chance Deshaun could ball. Though I think the more logical thing is the rust. I feel really comfortable laying only 7. What about you? Like, what's your biggest reasoning about this?
Well, to me, we look back to this last weekend with the Dolphins. That was 30-0 at halftime, and then the Dolphins lost a lineman. Probably the MVP of the season, apparently, Terron Armstead, if, you know, he comes out and then the team just collapses, give him the MVP right now, I guess. But you take him out.
Tua also.
Yeah, you take him out, and then Tua gets sacked like 17 times before halftime. So they're like, all right, we're done. We're going to call off the dogs, and here comes Houston. You're going to maybe backdoor cover, depending on where you're, what line you got. But I don't see the Cleveland Browns having a scenario where at halftime they give up, because I don't think they're going to go up 30-0 on Houston at halftime and have to, I think it'll be more of a steady climb throughout the game. But Cleveland, they just beat Tampa Bay to keep what maybe, you know, what little playoff hopes they may have. They kept them alive with that.
Yep.
Feeling good about that. You've still got, and let's say Deshaun Watson is a little rusty. You've still got Nick Chubb.
Yep. Oh, they're going to pound it right. They're going
to want it down their throat. And I'm actually still surprised. I thought Miami would have run the ball more against Houston last week. I was kind of surprised that they didn't. And I wonder how much of that was to do with Mostert being out and they didn't have the two-headed horse in the backfield with him and Wilson, and then Wilson got a little dinged up and they were up big enough so they didn't need him back. Thankfully he's not too hurt. I think he's back this week at full strength pretty well.
Everybody.
I'm feeling good about Cleveland minus 7. At this point in the season, if you can get Houston, or if Houston in a game is an underdog by single digits, you might as well take the other team.
Yeah, especially if they're good enough to warrant it. Yeah. And the Browns are good enough offensively to warrant it with Deshaun in there. Yes.
Yeah. And Cleveland is not as bad as their record indicates either. I think they're much closer to, you know, being a little above 500 than where they're at.
No.
They've had some heartbreaking losses, but I don't think it happens against Houston. And
no.
Yeah, I feel good about 7.
Yeah, I do believe that they've had some pretty embarrassing roster management when it comes to it felt like they focused so much on trying to make sure Deshaun could play games this year that they completely forgot to, you know, upgrade their defensive line depth outside of, you know, employing Myles Garrett. Their linebackers are slow and average. Their safeties have been underwhelming. John Johnson has been a train wreck for 2 straight years. That's why they're terrible against the run. But when you think about it, if Nick Chubb doesn't score, or how about this, if Cade York gets the extra point, they beat the Jets because at worst it goes to OT. So that's a win. And I said this the other day, I was breaking these games down the other day on the pod that I did the live show. They had a third down against the Ravens in Baltimore. Jacoby hits Amari down the sideline, and they call like the worst pass interference I've ever seen. And they said he stepped out, which neither happened. He didn't interfere. He caught it. He scored. That would have gave him the lead. They waved it off. That was awful. Go on NFL highlights on YouTube and watch it. You'll find it probably. It was horrendous. And I think there's like the Chargers game. The Chargers tried to give it to him, and then York missed another field goal. Like, they've had moments that would honestly, if they could, you win 2 more games, you're what? They'd be 6-5. We'd be sitting here like, could the Browns win the Super Bowl? Because that's what I was feeling. Like, they just had to tread water till he came back, and then they could roll. They're a little too far out of it now, I think, but I think they're going to be ready to go with him in the lineup on Sunday.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing for me is just how rusty is Deshaun. But I think they'll get him, you know, they'll massage him a little bit. They'll get the kinks worked out, and he'll be good to go.
I'm excited. I'm ready to get the finger roll gif going. The Michael Jordan of football has returned. Can't wait. Shout out to Dabo Sweeney for that quote. All right, let's quickly do some college stuff. I got some stuff pulled up here. I just want to look at some games that I might have gone with. We're going to go with one. There's a couple here that I feel pretty comfortable in, but we just didn't put on the table. Holy hell, Georgia is now 18.5-point favorites. That's wild. I don't know if I would lay it, but I'd probably try to find some team total stuff that you could flirt with. Under is probably the play. Georgia under is usually cash like a mug. USC minus the points. If there's a side there, I think that's the one. The second matchup with them, I feel like they're going to be much more suited against Utah. That game got away from them a little bit, where at one point they were dominating. They're getting healthy. They're playing well. I think USC wins. We don't have that on here. Other than that, I would probably say the under in Michigan Purdue 51.5. That's probably the line, though. Also, if you wanted to lay the 16.5, I wouldn't be shocked, because there's a world where Michigan's trying to play for style points to get the one seed. So I wouldn't be shocked if they rolled. Clemson, UNC, 63.5 is the over-under. That would be tough for me to feel, and I can't get a read on that. 7.5 is the line. That both those teams are all over the place. The one we feel good about, though, the one that we are going to add, is Kansas State plus 2.5 against TCU. And here's the logic. We have hated TCU this year to a degree, but we are also in the world of we respect what they've done. And lately, we are impressed with their wins. The win at Texas, extremely impressive. The way they were able to rally to get the game against Baylor, extremely impressive. And then last week, they just blew the doors off Iowa State. Here's the thing. I thought there was a chance, and there's also people that I watch on YouTube that are smart, way smarter than me, which is obvious. They felt that there was a chance Kansas State could be favored here. So the fact that we're getting points, I feel like, is a big deal. And here's the thing. We'll get to why in a second. Here's a huge thing that I think is going to matter. And this doesn't mean TCU is going to take their foot off the gas per se, Nick. But I think TCU I could sit here for an hour and argue the meaningful games and stuff, expanded playoff, blah, 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 blah. But I'm just saying TCU should be in no matter what happens on Saturday, unless Kansas State rolls out of bed and beats them by like 45. Then we have to have a discussion. But as long as Kansas State wins and it's close, if that's the case, TCU, I think, should be in. So the plus 2.5 here isn't me saying TCU's getting out of the pain of the playoff. I just think Kansas State is really good, and it's a tough matchup. When these two teams played the first time, I believe it was in – no, it wasn't in Manhattan. It was at TCU. Kansas State, in the first half, while Adrian Martinez, who had then got banged up, and then their backup quarterback, who's their better quarterback, and he will be starting Saturday. He has for about the last month. Will Howard – those two guys were in, they were averaging over 12 yards per play in the first half against TCU. In the second half, both of them were hurt, and TCU mounted a huge comeback and ended up winning. I just feel like with Will Howard in the game, the stuff that they're going to have on tape, I think that's going to matter. I'm going to be interested to see how TCU handles the adjustments they're going to have to make. Because Kansas State, again, they were popping them off. They were shredding them in that first half. And then both of their QBs ended up getting hurt. I'll also be interested to see Adrian Martinez will actually be available. He was the starter at the beginning of the year. Then Will Howard came in, and I think he's the better QB just because he's the better thrower of the two. I will be interested to see, though, if they use Adrian Martinez in certain packages, if it's short yardage or goal to go. For Kansas State, I think this is going to be a point explosion. I think this is going to be – this is easily, in my opinion, going to be the best game on Saturday. So you better be up at 11 for it, because this thing's going to light the house on fire. Kansas State plus the points. Hold on to your butts. It's going to be a fun game. I think the Wildcats absolutely could win. What a year they have had. I think the game's going to be awesome, and I'm going to take the points here.
There you go. I like it.
There we go. All right, my friend, you're back. You're up.
Okay.
Screw those college kids. That's what you're saying.
Yeah. Let's go Commanders. I'm taking Washington 2.5. They're in the right, they're heading the right direction. Giants are not. That's all I need.
So I was thinking about this as well. I'm not taking it for the due for regression spot, but It's also like I do believe the Giants are kind of falling, and you're laying less than a field goal on the road. I think it's – I'm probably with you. I think it's the right play. It definitely the one I would take if I was on it. I just feel that when you look at this game, the things that are going to be interesting to me is how do the Giants block? How do they block the Washington front? Are they going to be able to move the ball on the ground? The problem is they've just been so damn hurt lately. And you're right. It's like they're going down. This is where, I mean, the next 3 weeks is where that 7 seed in the NFC is going to come into play because they play each other twice. Next for me, we're going to go with an over here. We have talked and we are in the realm that Justin Fields is questionable. We're going to play this like we feel like he will start. And if he doesn't, then we'll probably adjust it on Sunday on the live show. We're going to take the over 43.5 in Chicago for Bears Packers. I think that this is a massive, massive, like, low number. With if Fields plays, it's probably low because they think he won't. But I don't see a reason for them to sit him out, honestly. I mean, all their injuries right now are on off defense. I know Mooney's out, but fuck it. Let it ride. Yeah, I want to see Fields play. I want to see them go at it. I want to see him and Jordan Love. I also think that the Packers are going to light up the Bears because I don't think they're going to be able to stop him. And I think Love, they're going to make it a point to have Love go for 5 billion yards. And I also was impressed with Love on Sunday. So over 43.5, that's where I'm at.
Rodgers, have they said he's for sure out yet?
No, but I think if he plays, I would be shocked.
Okay. I was going to say, I thought Love looked really good those first few plays. I thought I saw more out of him in one or two series the other night than all of last year watching him in preseason or the game against Kansas City, whatever it was. He definitely looked good. And when he found Watson, boom.
He just looked comfortable.
He did.
That's what I wanted to see. Like, I remember the Eagles were going down the field. I'm just like, please don't go up 3 scores. I want to see a meaningful Jordan Love snap. And then all of a sudden they get the ball and it's like, damn, boom. They're like, they just looked comfortable. Now, obviously the touchdown he hit was a short pass and Watson's a freak. Like, good Lord. How did it take them 2 months to realize how good he is? He's awesome, by the way. Like, God damn. He's so good. All my Bears fans friends are like, oh my God, we don't want Love to be good in Watson. I'm like, shut up. I'm like, do you want the Bears to rule the NFC North like the Packers did when all the other teams sucked? No. Let him be good so we can clown him. Whatever, man. But yeah, Love, I'm just glad that he looked comfortable. I don't think it means more than what it should mean, but the fact that he was actually comfortable, was able to move off his spot, that made me go, oh. And he hit like 2 hole shot throws too. I was like, oh? Like, are we excited?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, when he came into the game, it's not like the offense fell apart. They still had – I mean, they came within an onside kick of getting another chance to tie. Yeah. I mean, I think he came in down 14. Is that right? Or was it still 7 and they gave up more points again? Or I don't remember. But, yeah. Mm-hmm. I saw enough that if he was in control of the offense against the Bears defense, and we just saw what Mike White did against that Bears defense in the rain.
Yeah, but
I could see 43 points happening.
Don't you think that they could have thrown out like a average Power 5 quarterback in college on the Jets, and they would all just been excited that it wasn't Zach Wilson throwing them the football?
Now starting for the New York Jets, it's Joe Winkle.
Yep, pretty much. They could have just rolled. I was going to say they could have just rolled DJ out there, and DJ would have been hitting crossing routes, and Garrett Wilson would have been taking him to the house, and they would have been, they would have been given the interviews after the game. Like, I looked at the ball and I spoke to it, and I was like, I missed you. Did you see that? Did you see what Elijah Moore was saying?
No, I missed that.
He was like, I was looking at the ball last night and I was kissing it, and I said, I'll see you soon. It's been too long. I'm like, yes, yes. Oh my gosh. Oh man. Burn Zach Wilson alive at the head. All right. You're up. We'll take a break after you, but go. You're third.
Okay. When Chargers and Raiders play, it's usually a pretty fun game.
Very fun. Give me Justin Herbert is box office.
Yeah, give me the over. Let's have some fun. Let's score some points on Sunday.
What's it at now?
50.5.
Chargers versus Raiders. Over 50.5. Yeah, this is one of those games where it's like, this is the weekly, if you bet this line, you should be in Gamblers Anonymous. Because who knows with these two squads. But the over's good. The over's probably fun.
Now, I think, was it week one they played and they only put up like 37 or 38 points, I think? I think it was
24 to 19 week one. Don't ask how I know those scores off the top of my head. I'm a nerd.
I looked it up a little bit ago. But yeah, it was low 40s. So yeah. I think just in regulation this past week, the Raiders and the Seahawks were at what, like
34 each? Yeah, 68.
Yeah, so...
The Raiders are going to run for 300 yards Sunday.
Yeah, I was going to say, the Raiders offense, I have no doubt that they can move the football. They do it. They score. Their defense, not very good. And the Chargers, their offense, yeah, they've been a little more disappointing than people would have thought this year. I think Mike Williams has a chance to play. I think I saw that he went to questionable instead of out or doubtful.
That'll help.
So obviously if they get him back and then he gets hurt in two plays, then he's done for the day. But I think I'm taking the over there. I like it.
All right. I think it'll be fun. I'm a fan. I'm going to cheer. That's something we can cheer for. Who wants to watch those two teams play and cheer for them not to score?
Exactly.
Who would pick the under in that game? That is against America.
That's like betting on Iran yesterday or there Monday, is, whatever it was.
There is nothing more. By the way, I just saw your private chat, and I don't care if this is in the podcast. The video isn't going anywhere. We're just looking at each other to see each other's reactions.
I'll put my shirt back on.
Oh yeah, yeah, me too. I'm not wearing any pants.
Why do you say that sarcastically?
I mean, why do you? we're just here.
Do you normally wear pants.
Yeah, is that a regularity? Do we have to? Was this called for? Yeah, it's like there's no difference. Like if you purposely watch the USA soccer team and cheer for them to lose and betting the under in Raiders Chargers.
Oh yeah,
that is the same thing. Like communism is equal in both. That's basically what those are, and they are the things that should get you thrown in Guantanamo. On that note, we're taking a break.
Make sure you tune into For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Twitch each Sunday during the football season from 10 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. The boys from For Fantasy's Sake will be bringing the fire fantasy football takes, updating you on the week's rankings and injuries, and getting you ready for your fantasy football matchups each and every week. The show is interactive, so be sure to send your questions. You can find them at For Frequency's Sake on Facebook, at FFSQC on Twitter, or you can send them an email at forfantasysakeqc@gmail.com. Today's episode is brought to you by Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar in Rock Island. It's the place to be every Sunday this football season. Barbecue Chris will be in the house every week smoking the place up with his amazing menu or mouth-watering barbecues. Cavies will have every game on inside and outside their numerous TV screens. Plus, you can play their adult video games, and they have the loosest slots around. Check out Kavanaugh's Hilltop Bar, 1228 30th Street in Rock Island.
Communism, pants, war crimes. We talk about it all on this show, Nick.
We've got it all.
We've got the variety. All right. We're halfway through. Nick, to start it off, gave us some unity. We were both taking the Brownies -7 against Houston. Nick then backed that up with Washington -2.5 against the Giants. And the Chargers and Raiders over 50.5 because he's a goddamn American. And then after that, I said, we're agreeing with him, obviously, on the brownies. We are taking Kansas State plus 2.5 against TCU. And we are taking the Bears and Packers over 43.5 because we think Justin Fields is going to play, because we want Justin Fields to play. He's fun, and we like fun here. Mr. Nick, give us another one, partner. What you got?
When he is an underdog, he wins outright most of his games.
Most. Do we have a percentage, or is most just our percentage?
Since he became a head coach, I think he's 23-16 straight up winning when he's an underdog. So I'm just taking the points here.
Are we taking the fighting Mike Vrabels?
The fighting Mike Vrabels.
Oh,
Titans plus 5.5.
Okay.
And here's part of why.
Can I ask you a real quick question first?
Sure.
Is this because I want it too. Is this a trap? And do you have five? Did you get 5.5 or 6?
I saw 5.5.
Yep. Okay, me too. I think it was 6 on Monday.
The higher the number, the better.
I know. Which we would take 6. That's why I wanted to know where you were at here.
Yeah, but no,
do you think this is a trap? Like, what do they know that we don't? Why are they giving us so many points?
I think it comes down to Philly's record, and I like last week when we did the other show last week, I had Dallas winning that division over Philly.
Yeah,
I'm still not 100% convinced that Philly is as good as they are or maybe. Mm-hmm. And I think I had the Titans as my 2 or 3 seed when we did our playoff rankings last week too. I like the Titans. I like the style of football they play, and I just feel like at 5.5, I wouldn't even be surprised if they win it outright.
This is kind of where
I'm not going there. I'm not going to say Titans are going to win the game, but I like 5.5 because Mike Vrabel, he usually wins when he's an underdog, and if he loses, it'll probably be close. I like that's my thought. And I mean, Jordan Love looked okay in the fourth quarter on Sunday, so Ryan Tannehill, he could look good in the fourth quarter against them, right?
Mm-hmm. I didn't want sorry if my question threw you off the rails there. I just wanted to know that's what I was thinking when I saw that. I'm like, is this a trap? Like, what are we doing? Someone's got some splaining to do. Why so many points? Why are all these points?
I just don't think the Titans get credit.
No, it's weird.
And I think Philly gets too much credit. So I think that's where that line gets higher. And I mean, Philly's at home. It's Philadelphia. The fans are going to, you know, defecate all over the Titans fans' cars and stuff.
Karma.
Yeah.
This is a karma line.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Defecation. Pants.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Points.
But yeah. I feel good about the Titans. You know, if Derrick Henry can just not fumble at the 1 yard line.
They scored on that play, though.
They did, but that ruined a couple of parlays for me.
Oh, shit.
Down from Derrick Henry.
I know. You probably had to.
I was sad.
You just probably sitting there. Oh.
Daddy, why is there no Christmas? Because Daddy had Derrick Henry scoring a touchdown.
Every week I throw together like a couple of really cheap, 4 or 5 touchdowns in a parlay. And when Nick Chubb got a touchdown in overtime, that meant that Derrick Henry was the one that sunk my other parlay.
He sunk your battleship.
Because he fumbled at the 1 yard line and didn't get that touchdown.
Ugh, that's funny. I'm sorry.
It was sad.
Oh, God. Wait, it wasn't a rushing touchdown. It was an anytime touchdown?
It was just an anytime touchdown. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
that would have been something too. Like he gets a receiving touchdown from 80 yards out and doesn't score a rushing touchdown. If you took that bet, that would have been not fun either. I have in fantasy in the league that my team has kind of fallen apart the last couple of weeks. So I could have just really used the good morale.
The morale. That's the word I was going to use.
Touchdown.
Nope. Points
would have looked a lot better than 14.
Ripped away from you.
But yeah,
The Bengals did a great job on him on Sunday in the run game. So you got to think knowing how bad they've been against the run lately, Vrabel's going to want to ground them up. This could be like, God, I would. Yeah, I'd be leaning like tight. I'm on this too. So this is our two that we are agreeing on, which is a good thing or a terrible thing. I don't know.
We'll find out on Sunday.
Yeah, we are. Are you going to be on the live show Sunday?
I should be. Yeah, I should be a full. I should be at full. I should be a full participant on Sunday.
Can't wait for us. Can't wait for you to act like you've never heard these before. Oh wait, Joe does his segments. The Titans? Oh what? So doesn't this feel like the Vrabel lost a game he shouldn't have? Like they not that they shouldn't have. They lost a game and he's going to be pissed. He probably ran them into the dirt on Monday. Not waiting till Wednesday today. He did it Monday for that stupid special teams penalty. Like this is the week where they come back.
Oh, right. I forgot about the penalty that sunk it at the end. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Right. This is the week. All the T's are crossed. All the I's are dotted. They ran for 33 yards or whatever. He's going to look at all the tape the last couple weeks of teams just gashing the Eagles on the ground, and Henry's going to go nuts. I think 5.5 is just so many points. It feels like a trap, but it's like you have to take this, yeah. Right? You have to, unless you just don't trust the Titans. But then again, I know this has been a theme, but like, do you not trust America? I mean, I guess there's a reason to not trust America, but like the Titans are more trustworthy than America, man. Titans plus 5.5.
And actually, the other key moment from that game while we're talking about it, I don't know, 4, 5, 6 minutes left. I think it's 4th down and 2, and they kick the field goal to go within 4.
Yep, they cut it to 4.
Not Derrick Henry.
They didn't see the ball after that.
Exactly. They would have if they didn't screw up the kick and
because there was 6 minutes left, and people are probably thinking, like, well, how did they not get the ball back? They had 6 minutes. Well, they kicked that field goal with 1:50 left, but when the penalty happened, the Titans had no timeouts, so the last 2 minutes just basically got wiped off. So the Bengals had a 4-minute drive go to 6 minutes, game over. Go ahead, sorry.
I just would have liked to see them go for it. If it was 4th and 7, go ahead, kick it. But down 7, late in the fourth, 2 yards from a first down, basically in the red zone, you've got Derrick Henry. Not necessarily saying you run it up the middle on 4th down and 2, but God, I think they had a better chance of winning if they tried to get the first down on 4th and 2 there rather than kick the field goal and hope you get the ball back. Because at that point, they had still only scored 13 points. It's not like your offense has gone down and scored at will. So if you get the ball back, you're going to have to drive the length of the field. That hasn't been a guarantee all day. You're in the red zone or very close to it right now. Go for it now. I was disappointed that they kicked there. I understood why, because there was still a decent amount of time left. I think you take a minute or two off the clock and it's a completely different decision, but I was thinking you needed to go for it there. And obviously hindsight's 20/20, but
yeah, I never thought of that. Cause I mean, the game usually kind of will tell you if it calls for something like that. I guess 20-13, it didn't feel like it called for it, but I understand what you're saying.
And maybe 4th and 2,
I guess
one yard too many. If it was 4th and 1, I think they go for it.
Yeah, because that's their thing. Yeah. I guess I didn't think of that because I left Sunday actually being really impressed with the fact that since he was able to win that game without Mixon, without Chase.
Yeah.
Which is like, I didn't see that coming at all. One of the games I would have picked, which I would have lost, I would have taken the Titans. By Sunday, it was a pick 'em, but when we would have done the show, they were catching like 2.5, and I would have taken that at home because that was what would have been one of those. I thought both teams are even, -3 for the favorite at home. So the fact that you're getting points with the team at home and an even claim, like the fact that the Bengals won, I was impressed.
Yeah.
Like that was impressive. 100%. So. All right, I'm going to go, let's see. Well, no, since we both had that one again, what do you got next? We'll see if you keep copying on my list.
Degens are going to degen.
Oh?
I'm taking an under.
Life's too short.
In a Broncos game.
Yeah? Degens are going to degen.
Hell yeah.
Only 38, though. Ballsy.
I'm taking under 38. And but a half. and the Broncos. And it may be the dumbest pick of all of my six here. But when I saw that, I thought, you know, that Ravens-Jags game, until it kind of got crazy at the end, it was pretty low scoring.
38 and a half, right, is where we're at?
Yeah, yep, okay. Yep. And the Ravens, their offense just – something has seemed up with it here of late. They're not scoring like they were earlier in the season, it feels like. And then, you know, Broncos are going on a ride that just does not seem to end.
Broncos country.
Yeah.
Dead side.
And, I mean, the Broncos, that defense is still good. And I think they, between the Broncos not scoring and the Broncos limiting the Ravens, I just feel like until... And that's probably why this line is so freaking low, is because it's the Broncos. But I'll still degen on it. Why not?
Counterpoint to the Broncos defense argument. Yeah. This isn't to the
they didn't look as good the last couple weeks, but
have they quit? Because if they've quit, yeah,
probably
then yeah. We have fired all of our fuck you bullets into the sun, and we're. You know, we're not getting any return.
That's true. That one dude was bitching barking. Out Russell.
Yeah, bitching out Russell. Not barking, bitching. Tell us, Nick.
Yeah, that was enjoyable. I enjoyed seeing that. And then Russ is just like, let's ride.
He was just like, man, no one likes me. I'm so unlikable.
Yeah.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah. Until this season, I didn't realize just how unlikably inauthentic Russell Wilson was, but it's become very apparent and it's kind of funny now.
Cringe doctor.
Yeah. Some guys, like, you can just tell, oh, this guy's going to be a broadcaster when he's done. He's got it. He's going to have what it takes. But Russ, yeah, he's just too freaking cringeworthy.
Yeah.
I don't see that happening with him.
No.
And who knows? That might come sooner rather than later. We don't know.
Boy, oh boy. I mean, I don't know, man. He's under contract for like 5 years, 6 years. He's going to be making all that bread. That's a good-ass deal. That is all guaranteed. Back them Brinks trucks up for all of his stepkids that he's got.
Yeah.
Under 38. The only thing that doesn't get you, you should hit this, right? Like 28 to 10 gets you home. All right, hold on. So let's do some math here, right?
Mm-hmm.
They've scored their average a game, like, which isn't their average, but like 17 a game is like the benchmark for them. Mm-hmm. The Broncos haven't gone. They've gone over that. Have they gone over that yet?
I'll pull it up here.
Did they go over it in that Raiders game?
No, they had 16.
22
to 6. Here are the Broncos points.
Oh yeah. They scored points. They scored like 21 in week two.
Starting last week and going forward, 10, 16, 10, 21. They did beat the Jaguars. That was in London, wasn't it?
Yeah. Fucking Trevor threw some terrible picks.
Yeah. And then we're back to 9, 16, 9 in that classic game against the Colts.
Classic.
Oh, yeah. Broncos against the Raiders the first time. They put up 23. More ammo for that over in the Raiders game. If even the Broncos can score 23 and hit 55 in total points in that game, you're damn right the Chargers and the Raiders can.
Again, though, you're betting if you bet the under in the Chargers and the Raiders game, you might as well be a war criminal.
Yes. Yes. 100%. Broncos, I still cannot believe the Broncos beat the freaking 49ers. 11 points.
The self-safety game.
Yeah. And then they beat the Texans, scoring 16. And then week one, they lost scoring 16 when they literally were allergic to scoring points that day.
They had like, that was funny. What a game. Do you think, you were talking.
In the last 3 weeks, Broncos games have all gone under 38 and a half. And I'm going to see it continue this week.
So if they scored 17, if they get to your average, then the Ravens scoring 21 would beat it. So
21-17 would be okay. That's the that would
that
be
gets
the
us home. 21-17. We're in the tight. If we're at 21-17, we're in a super tight jogger outfit. But you know what? We're rocking it because it's getting us to the finish line. But yeah,
when the Ravens put up 13 against the Panthers, I was confused as hell. What was happening? And maybe that game is influencing my decision here to go under.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, oh, the Ravens only put up 13 points a couple weeks ago. Playing against the Broncos? Oh, sure, it's going to be 17-7. Again, like I said, of the six, this is the one that I would expect to lose the fastest. But
yeah,
I'm going to take it.
Again, I think the biggest key here is have the Broncos quit defensively. Because I think there's a world that even the because here's the thing, the Ravens will move the ball, but they've been abysmal in the red zone this year. Did you like that stroke I had?
I did. Okay. That was good.
They've been fucking terrible in the red zone, as Charles says. Greg Roman. Apparently, Greg Roman is interviewing for the Stanford job. Lamar Jackson might be free. anywho, I'll go next. Life's too short to bet the under. And again, I guess the points in this game won't matter because it'll just be fun regardless. Chiefs-Bengals, we're going to go over 52.5. I'm a little nervy about it, but I think this one could get you there. 27-24 gets us home. I think that's the type of game we're going to see. I'm way too nervous to take a line here. I think points will be scored. I think the Bengals have a chance to really, you know, kind of prove to everybody that they are, you know, like, all right, hey, we're still that team from last year. I think there's still some doubts even with this three-game winning streak. If they can win at home against the Chiefs, that would be really big. And, fun fact, if the Chiefs lose, then all of a sudden the one seed door gets kicked back open. So big game for everybody in the AFC. Everyone in the AFC is going to be a fan of the Bengals on Sunday. I don't know if they can get it done. I wouldn't take the points. I wouldn't lay the points with the Chiefs. It's at 2.5. But I think the over-under, I think there's going to be points regardless in the game. 52.5 is where we're at. What are your thoughts on this game on Sunday? It's going to be this slate, by the way, all day Sunday is just awesome.
Chase has a chance to come back this week too, right?
Correctamundo. He kills them. Yeah. Like they're
the playoff
big
game last year, I believe. Or was it the playoff game or the regular season game last year when he just went off like bonkers?
The playoff game he didn't have that much, but okay. The regular season game, he went nuts. And that's exactly what beats them is guys that are good one-on-one coverage. And Higgins has been playing really good.
Mixon should be back too. I'm pretty sure his concussion will be taken care of, right?
You'd think, yeah. So they could be coming in healthy. It'd make you feel like taking the Bengals and the points, but I just don't have the gut for it.
I would lean over as well, just because I think that's the natural play in almost any Chiefs game is just to assume whatever the number is, you take the over. I think the big question mark for me will be if somehow Melvin Gordon is active and he gets a carry and he fumbles it, and then that takes away 7 points off the board.
Well, defensive, like, turnovers, there's the thing. Turnovers could lead, like, that's what helps lead to more points, depending on where the turnover is. So that could even help your over, Melvin Gordon, who's been awful this year.
Always at the goal line.
That is true. He'll be they'll be inside the red zone, and they'll be like, God damn it, Melvin.
But okay, who knows if he'll even play, but yeah,
probably not, but funny regardless. All right, what's your last one, my friend?
We're taking the Lions and the Jags.
Okay.
And we're gonna combine their points to go over 51.5.
Yeah, there we go, because my last game is also Lions Jags, and I hate that I'm doing this, but I'm betting against Trevor Lawrence. I'm so sorry. I love you, Trevor. We're taking the Lions -1. Okay, let me. So you've got over points.
Don't feel super good about it.
51.5
Yeah. I mean that Bills Lions game got to what? 49? 28-25. So that got to 53. Right? 28-25.
Yeah, 53.
Yeah. They got to 53. And I think that the Bills defense is better than the Jags defense or the Lions defense. And as long as the Lions aren't playing the Patriots, I feel good about them to put up some points.
Yeah, my Jags only
offense, they've had things rolling here, especially last week. They found another gear in that fourth quarter. That was fun to watch.
Mm-hmm. That was Trevor's best game.
It might take a late miracle to get there. But let's take 51.5 over.
Again, have fun, right? Enjoy. Let's watch Trevor Lawrence throw touchdowns. Yeah. We're not cheering for field goals here, people.
Now,
here's my reason. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, with the Chargers Raiders earlier, like, you have to bet the over there, otherwise you're not American.
Yeah.
There is an argument here, Jags, Lions, like, you almost have to take the under just because those teams are notoriously awful. And
it's a new era, Nick.
Yeah. So that was 2020. This is 2022. We're going over on those teams.
Why not? Right? Why not? New Age Outlaws over here, baby. You didn't know. DJ Jarvis will get that reference. I don't know if you do or not. Many WWE fans in here.
More of an AEW guy.
Regardless, I'm going Lions -1. It's just a numbers play. I think both teams are even. In that case, the team that is at home should be favored by somewhere between 2 and 3 points. I loved this when it was Jags +2. Now that the Lions moved 3 points, I hate it. Oh, God. But the Lions -1, screw it. We're going to it's a numbers play. I have to. It is a numbers. It is a math play. It is like, I run the number. We've run the numbers. You're not like a Formula One guy. You're just a NASCAR guy.
Yeah. NASCAR guy for sure. I dabble and I watch a little Formula One, but yeah.
See, I like NASCAR and I love IndyCar and Formula One.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll watch any.
But all of it's my all of it's racing, my shit. But
yeah, NASCAR is definitely my bread and butter.
There used to be a joke for like one of the F1 engineers. They'd be like, "Well, we're running the numbers for your strategy." Just in here, they're running numbers.
We're on the intermediates for
15
more laps.
Well, we've run the numbers. Pit stop, box in 2 laps. We've run the numbers. Lions -1. So yeah, that's where we're at. It's a numbers play, man. It's just both teams are even. The Jags have been kind of shit on the road. If I'd be impressed if they come off of this game, go into Detroit and continue to have that umph. So I guess, honestly, I'm more worried about your over-under in this game than the over-under in any of the other two total games, just because I feel like there's a little bit of a letdown spot for the Lions or for the Jags here. A little bit, just off, like, that's the biggest win you've had as a team since, you know, it kind of got rolling. There's a bounce-back effect of, like, them going on the road now. It's like, will we see them continue it? Which I think they're more than capable of doing. It's just one of those we haven't seen it yet kind of deals. So now we got to see it, but I'm not opposed to having faith in it. I hate that I'm picking against the Jags. Cause in a normal spot, I'd be like, oh, like on a neutral field, I'd probably stay away from it picking the spread, but like, I'd think the Jags would win. But the fact that it's in Detroit, I just have to play the number here.
So here we go. We're going to take Lions to win 28-24 and we're both happy.
Then we are happy. No, because in a perfect world, because I love the Jags, because in a perfect world, I could have got this at +2, and then it could have been like 28-27 Jags. I win, the Jags win, you win, we all win. That's what could have been the case. But now I have to take the fucking Lions -1, and I hate it. I have to cheer for the Jags to lose, and it makes me sad.
Did that happen earlier this season? I feel like one of the Sunday shows there was a Lions line that went, and you like, they were a home favorite for the first time in God knows when, so you had to take it. I can't remember if that rings a bell or anything, or if I'm just like pulling straws out of my ass.
There were a couple weird lines this year that we put on the show because my friend that did this with me before, Mac, he's a huge Lions fan, so he loved throwing Lions lines on there. And they were like a home favorite for like the first time ever. And I was like, I'm fucking fading the shit out of it. And it was against Washington, and they beat the brakes off of them. But then after that, Mac wanted to pet them against the Pats, and I was like, they're going to get killed, and they did. We faded a few Lions picks before this last stretch. Even though I faded them last Thursday, and I know that was the square play, but I probably would have done it regardless. It was like, this, they're due to get shit on. But hey, they're actually playing really well, so I think it's sustainable. I think they've kind of actually finally turned the corner from being a team that fakes it but is good to they actually might be good.
Yeah.
Real quick before we get out of here, thoughts on Sunday, our boys. Are you nervous?
I'm nervous, yeah.
We're due to kind of get pantsed a bit, aren't we?
Yeah, and if that offensive line looks anything close to what it did at the end of the second quarter on Sunday, I would have serious doubts. But I think from a betting perspective, if I had to put money on any of these bets, +3.5, -3.5, over 46.5, under 46.5, I would lean under 46.5. Spread scares me. I don't want to take the 49ers to win by 3 or anything. Not sure how comfortable I feel taking +3.5 either, because, you know, that's just, the Dolphins have a way of ripping your heart out. I don't want to do it. But under 46.5,
they really do.
If I had to make a bet on this game, God knows I probably will anyway. You know, I'll find some touchdown parlay or something that, well, yeah, you know, all that fun stuff. But yeah, I would maybe lean under 46.5. That 49ers defense, stout. That might limit some of the top side potential of that Dolphins offense. You know, maybe only score 20 instead of 30 or something like that.
Yeah,
but I hope it's close. I hope it's competitive, because I could absolutely seeing it be a day where, you know, 49ers win by a couple touchdowns because that offensive line can't stop anything.
You can't block them. Yep.
Osa just runs wild. He's not hurt, is he? I don't follow the 49ers super closely, right?
No, Bosa's not hurt.
Yeah. So yeah, if he, you know, if that defense is at pretty well full strength, I do wonder if the 49ers wish they had Jeff Wilson now with Elijah Mitchell.
Oh yeah, with Mitchell being out.
And McCaffrey's been a little dinged up. He wasn't himself this past week, and I think he's questionable right now. I'm sure he'll play, but they don't want to be working him to death either before the playoffs. So they may, you know, if Miami's run defense can play well and force Jimmy to play quarterback and pass the football, you know, the Dolphins defense is not as bad at tackling as the Cardinals defense.
that was a
frustrating game because I had a McCaffrey touchdown and I just wanted anybody to get tackled at the one, but the Cardinals said, oh,
why would we do that?
Why would we do that when you could get a 40-yard touchdown?
We're tired of playing. We didn't come here to play defense. It's like, yeah, Josh Rosen. We ain't come here to play school.
Yeah. So, I still have my concerns about the Dolphins defense too, but the offense of the 49ers, especially this week, does not really scare me. They're not at full strength. I trust Tua over Jimmy, but San Francisco's defense, I think, will be the biggest question mark in the game from a Dolphins perspective. How can they compete against that defense, and how does the mentee do against the mentor?
Yeah,
on the sidelines.
I'm interested to see how they block. Yeah, I'm interested to see how they block without Armstead. That's the biggest thing. And I do think Mike will have some wrinkles to try to make. But I bet he watched a lot of that Chiefs film from this week from when they played him, because they basically let Nick Bosa run up field all game and throw behind him and use their aggressiveness on the D-line to their advantage. Because without Armstead, that's kind of how they're going to have to operate.
That's kind of what the Cowboys, I mean, was it the Giants? That's what the Giants were doing against the Cowboys last week, right? On Thanksgiving. They were letting Parsons just kind of
a little bit
kind of leave him unblocked and then get rid of it quickly. And
then the second half, they got used as a battering ram.
Yeah. But when it was going okay for them.
my analogies are awesome. Pat myself on the back. No, I'm excited. Even if they lose this one, everyone will come out. Oh, look at the Dolphins. They face a real team. Dush. Like, shut up, you idiots. Even if you lose that, beat the Chargers, then you're still 8-4 or whatever. 8-4, 9-4. It'd be, I don't know.
They're 8-3.
So if they split the next two, they just got to beat the Chargers, which I think they will.
Sunday Night Football.
They'll run the shit. I'm glad it did. I think the Bills game might too. The Bills game's either going to get flexed to Sunday night, or it's going to be like a primetime game, like a secondary slate game.
Okay.
That game's going to be huge. Yeah. That's going to be for the fucking division more or less.
Anything short of a close game, I'll be disappointed. Like if they lose by 17 or something, be dejected. But if they lose by 3, all good.
Yeah.
If they win the game, I think anyone that's not on the Dolphins bandwagon has to realize that they're just wrong.
Yeah. I'm not expecting this week to be the win. I think they'll beat the Chargers. I think I said this the other day. It's like if you go 1-2 in this next three, it's not the end of the world because you're still 9-5. The division's just probably not in line anymore. If you go 2-1 and one of them's against the Bills, you're in the driver's seat to win the East. If they go 3-0, then we might have to start booking flights to Arizona because it's like, okay, where are we at? But I'm excited for it. I'm excited for that. This Sunday slate's awesome. This show was awesome. My friend, thank you as always, brother.
It seems like the 3 o'clock window has been dog shit the last few weeks. Like, nothing good's happened in the 3 o'clock window, but this week, we got some bangers. We got Dolphins, Niners, Chargers, Raiders, Chiefs, Bengals.
That's all in the 3 o'clock slate, right? That's
all 3 o'clock. And we also got the Rams in there with the Seahawks. Who gives a shit?
Who gives a shit?
But the others, sign me up.
Yeah, Sunday's.
Looking at the noon window, is that just a bunch of shit? Yeah, not a whole lot of fun going on there.
If Justin Fields plays, that's all that matters, man, because then we'll have Bears versus Packers with Justin Fields playing, and I'll be happy. You can just rub mayonnaise on me from 12 till 7 all day. I might even watch part of that Sunday night game. Kind of, not really. That'll be boring. But I'll be so overstimulated from that 3 o'clock slate where I'll just be passed out drunk on the couch eating Cheetos like... so much happened. I can't move anymore.
I'm excited to see what Christian Watson's touchdown odds are. They've been like just in the high 200s lately, and I've cashed in the last 3 weeks on that. I would imagine this week it falls considerably.
Yeah,
closer to the plus 100s.
Do you have
Bears and with 6 touchdowns in 3 games? I feel like his odds are bound to come down. But if they're over 200. I definitely will be looking at that.
Real quick, do you have? They haven't really released any props yet, right?
No,
that's your thing.
FanDuel. I didn't see any on there yet, and I haven't logged in on DraftKings in a while.
Yeah, so this will be obviously coming out Thursday morning. We recorded this Wednesday night, so for those that are interested in stuff, player prop bets and whatnot, Nick will have those on the live show on Sunday. I'll have more. I'll have great hits. I'm totally dropping the line on Sunday during the live show of. If you don't bet the Chargers Raiders over, you're a communist. Just to get DJ's reaction. Oh my god!
And let's just browsing through the games here quick. I'm looking to see if there's a good both teams defensive touchdown parlay candidate. Not really seeing one this week.
Oh yeah,
not like that Cardinals Rams game a few weeks ago where
that was just perfectly lined up.
Yeah, it didn't work out. One of them actually should have happened, but they whistled it dead before they should have. But I don't know. If I had to pick a candidate, it would again be the Rams, this time against the Seahawks, because you got Geno. Sometimes he can make some boneheaded plays.
Yeah, nothing on the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay front. We'll have that on Sunday. The only where the fuck did the the real wouldn't it be hilarious parlay candidate would be if Trevor Siemian's the star, or him or Peterman are the star, is the starter for the Bears. Then the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay will be the Bears winning. So that if Fields is not the starter, Packers Bears is probably going to be the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay on Sunday. If not, the Broncos, that's just, it'd be funny, but that'd also be sad. The Vikings losing to Mike White would be hilarious. I guess you could say the Texans. The Texans beating the Browns would kind of be hilarious. That's kind of the obvious one, but we also both picked the Browns to win. So that would be like reverse voodoo. I don't know what that would mean. Like, that'd be weird, right?
Yeah, 100%.
The Cowboys on Sunday night losing to Jeff Saturday, that could be the one. That could be the wouldn't it be hilarious parlay candidate.
And even if it's not just the win, like just taking Colts plus 10.5 and then throwing in some shady shit.
Yeah. Yeah, but it'd be funnier if they actually got beat.
It would, for sure. You know,
that's the point of it. It's the Hail Mary parlay that would just be funny if it happened. Hence the wouldn't it be. We know it's probably not gonna happen, but if it did, it'd be hilarious.
Yeah, if you're taking a Colts money line, you got to throw in a Jonathan Taylor touchdown. Boost the odds.
Yeah.
They don't happen without each other.
You shade in some Dak under. You shade in some Matt Ryan over for the laughs. You find some really dumb line and hit, like, alt line it. And then we're cooking. Jeff Saturday's game management skills plus 2,000.
Oh, my God. That was so frustrating to watch the end of that game the other night. Their lack of not taking timeouts or whatever. I hope they used those two timeouts on the bus on the ride back. I guess they were home, so they went home that night to
Initially, Jeff Saturday's reasoning behind it, I agreed with. I was like, you know what? That's not a terrible thing. Because as a early stage head coach, he was saying he was trying to find out what down it was, and he couldn't get it. Like, he didn't know where they marked him. I was like, I could see that. But then it's like, well, I mean, come on, Jeff.
Yeah. Third down and two or whatever it is. Like, you've got three. Take a timeout.
Give yourself a chance.
And cook something up with a minute to work on it.
I didn't hate the third down call, though, because if that blew it up on the left side, if he's not there, Taylor's got like a 20-yard game.
Yeah.
So
say, it looked a lot worse when you don't take a timeout and then you lose a yard,
and then the fourth down throw is not even close. Man.
Yeah.
Oh well, that's the.
I thought he could have maybe run for it, but maybe I'm thinking of a different play.
Well, at that point, you're out of timeouts, or you're out of time. Or, running isn't going to work.
Or Matt, maybe you just don't be a pussy and slide. Just
no shit. Right. Nowhere the fucking
could have gotten there if he said just. He could have kept. He could have still slid, or he could have dove. Be a man. Get the first down. Put your team first, not yourself first. Quit being selfish.
If that was Kyler Murray, that would have been what they buried him for. Not Jeff Saturday goofing up.
Yeah.
Oh well, let's just. Oh, so they would have buried the black man for it. Blah blah. No, we have literal proof because Kyler did it against the Eagles, and we was like, "Oh, Kyler, you dumbass." Context, you morons.
Oh. Busy playing COD, right?
Is that I can't blame him. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to go do it right now, probably.
There you go.
Because why not? All right, man. Fins You're up. Awesome. Yes, sir. Let's go. Let's ride. Fins up, baby.
When it's 30-0 Dolphins at halftime on Sunday, we're gonna be blackout Sunday.
If it's 30-0, I'm gonna rip my shirt off, come on StreamYard Live on my Facebook, and I will be very ignorant. You will not be able to shut me up if they blast the Niners like that.
That would be some good shit.
I'd cry. I'd be like, guys, they have it. They have one. They are them. Yeah. They are all him.
Yeah. This definitely just seems like a game where, you know, if you win it, feel really, really good about your chances down the stretch.
Yeah, if they can win it without Big T, Big TA, that's the only thing I'm really worried about.
The other thing I've realized with Tua is like, does anybody take sacks worse than him? Like every time he's sacked, it looks like he's being like discombobulated and thrown into like a realm.
He looks like he's doing an exorcism. That one where he's like, oh my God.
Like it's like he gets touched in the backfield and he starts doing yoga and he's like Matrix and trying to like, dude,
he's doing the upward.
Why are you such a noodle?
He's doing the upward dog.
It's just get better at that, man.
Are you a yoga guy?
No. I'm a couch potato guy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You seem like you get out and move around a little bit.
So, I mean, I try to get out and, you know, walk around the neighborhood, but I'm looking
you have
at
dogs?
Getting... No. No. Okay. So I don't get out enough, but
that's fair.
I need
Who does?
Yeah. Looking at getting an e-bike to get me on a bike.
Peloton, maybe not sponsored, but I'm sure it's
no.
Cool.
I'm looking at my parents just got a couple, and I'm like, yeah, no, that does sound kind of fun because I want to ride my bike more.
I wish I had some rich.
I don't want to be like 2 miles from home, and then I'm like, oh, I'm dog shit tired. You got an e-bike, you've always got the battery. Like, oh, I just want to ride for a while. I'm going to push the throttle here, pretend like I'm on a 10-mile-an-hour motorcycle on the sidewalk.
You can actually get out. I wish I had some like rich in-laws so I could ask for like a Peloton for Christmas.
Yeah.
Not sponsored. I'm just saying.
My wife's got a Beachbody bike. I think that's kind of similar. I don't know.
I just feel like those Peloton things are like 5 racks. Plus you got to pay monthly for them or some shit.
Ew. Yeah, screw
that. Because of the way the online stuff is where you can do all those workouts. I bet it'd be awesome, and I bet it's worth it, but goddamn. Rich in-laws.
Yeah, there you go.
But, you know, we're going to find out. We're going to find – maybe in 2 years I'll put that on the Christmas list for my girlfriend. Be like, send it to one of your rich family members. See if they get us a Peloton.
There you go. Dreamer's got a dream.
You could say I'm a dreamer.
As Joe Winkle once said, I have a dream.
I have a dream that we woke up and the Raiders Chargers overhit and we all, and like the national anthem started playing and fireworks.
By the way, my 6 picks and probably your 6 picks.
Yeah.
If you parlay them together, you got about plus 4,600.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's it.
No, wait. Let me, since they're all pretty well coin flips, we matched on 2 of them.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to throw in 4 more legs of just random stuff just to see what odds could be. We're looking at plus 61,000.
Yeah. So if we put, if all
10 of our bets hit.
Yeah. If all 10 of ours hit, then we are. Rubbing
ourselves in mayo at that point.
Yeah, Hellman's mayonnaise. That's the kind I've gotten. The
we're going to sponsor Hellman's after that.
Yeah,
not vice versa.
Yep. Yeah, there's just going to be us on the mayonnaise bottle.
Yeah, like, it's gonna. Yeah, they're going to take Hellman's off, and it's going to say Winkle.
Winkle's mayonnaise. And at
twinkle,
the
we twinkle.
And on the bot, the catchphrase is gonna be life's too short to bet and AFs life's too short to bet Chargers unders.
Yes.
Cause how do you not cheer for happiness? All right, brother. We did good today. We did good. I'm proud of us. Oh, you cut out there for a second at the end. Don't die on me late.
Oh, I lost my connection for a second. I'm back.
At the finish line, you just get sniped. Good Lord. All right, that's Nick Brinks. He's a legendary human. As always, this has been the Educated Ignorance Podcast. If you ain't got your game, you best pass the sticks. You can see both of us on the Sunday live show. That's where we will be. Until then. We'll see you guys. Enjoy life. Take care of yourselves. We are out. Peace.